state of lending.
Finding a lender that will invest is really important.
Welcome to the Mortgage Impact Podcast, your home for industry-related marketing, branding, leadership, and technology news, best practices, and more. Whether you're a loan officer or a senior executive, this podcast will help you make an impact in the mortgage industry. Now, here's your host, Jake Failing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Mortgage Impact Podcast. I'm Adam O'Daniel, filling in for host Jake Failing today, and we've got a really cool episode. We're going back to Ryan Hills. You guys remember Ryan Hills is the market leader for Movement Mortgage in the Pacific Northwest, Seattle, Washington specifically. And man, Ryan has just a cool story where he came from Eagle Home Mortgage, where he spent years as a market leader there, joined Movement Mortgage as part of an acquisition this year. And as part of that transition, he's interviewing top producers all over the country and just kind of trying to learn and grow himself and then sharing those conversations with the world. So it's a cool idea, and we're bringing that to you here. So we've shared one of those episodes with you a couple of weeks ago. Today is the next installment of that. And the special guest is Spiro Kontostergios. Spiro is the market leader in Philadelphia for Movement Mortgage. And so this is a great conversation between Ryan and Spiro, two peers sharing ideas around recruiting, around leadership, around how to take a market, set a goal, and then go achieve that. It's just a really cool episode, conversation between two friends, two partners, and I hope it will inspire you to grow your business, and we can all take something away from that. So here it is, Ryan Hills interviewing Spiro Kontostergios. Hope you enjoy.
What's up, market leaders and regionals? Today I'm here with Spiro, the number two market leader. He quickly built a thriving market in Philly, and I think it's just 4 years. A man like Prince that goes by one name, Spiro, man. What's up? Thanks for joining
What's
us.
What's up, man? What's up? How you doing? 4 years yesterday.
4 years. Congrats. And you're killing it. Number two. Amazing results. I think you're already well over $200 million year to date. Is that right?
That is correct. Well, it'll be about $215. I did what you're doing, right? I called every top market leader here at Movement. They were all gracious enough to take my phone calls. And
that's what's cool about, you know, Movement. Yeah, and you called me out. Great minds think alike. What am I doing? I called Jeff and I called you guys. And I'm like, hey, you know, teach me your ways. And so that's why I'm putting it on film, because I'm like, well, if I'm doing it, why don't I just record it? Because there's other people like me trying to learn from you and Jeff and the other market leaders in the regional. So I'm doing exactly what you did when you got here. I guess it's a huge takeaway already. This, you know, quick into the interview is, you know, Movement leaders will spend time with you like we're doing now to edify you and accelerate that growth curve. You just got to ask questions. And everybody I've called has taken my call and answered every question. They've been super vulnerable. So I appreciate you doing the same thing.
Yeah, man. That's the one thing. Somebody asked me last month what separates Movement from everybody else. And I was like, you know, everybody says culture, but it really is, man. It's like my previous company, nobody spoke to anybody in Seattle or California. Nobody knew each other. There was a branch down the street from me. I always joke about this. There was a branch down the street from me from my previous company. And he looked at me as competition instead of trying to work together. Never met the guy. He wouldn't even answer my calls. We're over here. You know, everybody knows each other. Everybody's willing to help. And I'm trying to pass it down to new market leaders that come on board over here as well.
And that's top producers as well. I'm actually interviewing Dana Meadows, who's number one in volume units this year, right after you. And that will be on the mortgage loan officer page. This will just be on the market leader and regional page. And, you know, she's going to tell us how she did it. So, guys, you know, if you're market leader, reach out to market leader. Loan officers can reach out to loan officers. I think that's how, you know, iron sharpens iron with our loan officers as well. And, you know, I had a young guy from Denver come up this week and, you know, pick my brain about video and social. That's, you know, something I'm passionate about. And he's doing $8 million. And he's still asking questions, which I love. So go back to, dude, you said you started with three. How big is your team now, 4 years later?
I think, well, including assistants, I'm at like 50-something people. Jeez. I think it's 30, I want to say it's 37 or 38 loan officers.
That's amazing growth. $50 million a month, too.
Yeah, so it's been a little hectic, right? A lot of gray hairs coming in.
Well, that's why I'm all gray. I have the same challenges. Speaking of that, what was like your biggest challenge for the last 4 years, going from like three to like 50 people and zero volume to, you know, $50 million last month? What was that biggest challenge? Anything pop up right away?
I would say it's dealing, you know, forget the loan stuff, right? Mortgages are mortgages. There's going to be challenges with loans no matter where you go. I would say it's more like the challenges of managing the multiple and I'm sure you can attest to this, the multiple personalities, that not even the personalities, what people go through outside of work, the emotions of, you know, I had a loan officer assistant that his son died unexpectedly.
Oh, geez.
You have people that have brothers. I had a loan officer, their brother died at 30 years old last year.
Dang.
Unexpectedly. Yeah. I think it's more like dealing with the emotions of, you know, you develop such good relationships with your people that work with you on the day-to-day basis. Cause I, you know, like I try to be family to everybody I work with. I would say the biggest challenges are the emotions outside of work dealing, you know, on a day-to-day basis, like, you know, somebody's husband left them or divorces or losing a child or losing a mother or sister, yeah, brother. Sometimes it can be a little bit emotionally draining because, you know, they're coming to me for support on it and I want to be here for them, but it's like, holy shit. I'm like, holy crap. How do I handle this? And, you know, how do you handle the tears or how do you handle somebody that has a kid that's going through something? How are you there to support them? I think that's been the biggest challenge is like when you have so many people rolling up to you, you're not only there for work, you're there for their life as, you know, because I treat them like family. I want to be there for everything for them, but it's difficult to manage as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I didn't expect you to say that, but you're right. I'm thinking back my own journey. Like I have similar sized team. A lot of us have been together for over a decade. And when I talk to people about you, they compliment me and say, very genuine, very honest. Yeah, his team's very tight. They have each other's back. Sounds like our team. I'm proud of our team as well. But you're right. There's so many stories that are intertwined every day, whether it's a processor, LOA, loan officer, you know, junior. And they all are doing life, you know, right there with you. And we've had similar stories. And like, nobody prepares you for that. They prepare you for, you know, margins and rates and scaling a business. Like, what about a death? I mean, that nobody trains you for that. And so I don't know of a class that you would take, but, you know, I don't know, sounds like you just kind of are empathetic and you learn along the way. And
yeah, you learn on the way.
You know, you get through it together, which I guess is the big takeaway as a good family and a good team does. You get through it together and you're there to support them and hold them up, you know, professionally while they take care of the family personally. But I share in the challenge, but I'm also honored to be a part of that and honored that they would lean on me and the team.
Yeah. You know, I look at it from big picture as well. Like Casey has 4,000 employees, right? And I'm sure he probably hears even more than I hear on a day to day.
Exactly. Well, we got super real and super vulnerable. Let's stay there for a second. You know, I'm going to ask you a question that, as far as an area that challenges you, and I'm going to pick your brain on one of your strengths, but what is one area that comes to mind that you kind of pushed yourself to improve on professionally in your career right now?
I would say the biggest challenge for me is like, as far as recruiting, is like keep on following up with people. I'm sure you've seen it where a loan officer will tell you, hey, I'm happy at my current company. I've been here for 11 years. There's nothing that can get me away from here. And you tend to believe that, and it could be true at that moment. But instead of trying to build that relationship with that guy and saying, hey, no problem, I'm glad you're happy, still like to network with you and meet up for coffee or dinner or drinks or whatever the case may be.
Yep.
There's been some cases where like, okay, I have no shot at that guy. He's been there for 11 years. And then 6 months later, you see on LinkedIn that they switch jobs.
Yep.
That hurts. And you call them up and you're like, hey, what happened? Hey, you know what? I lost your number I haven't heard from you in a while and I went to this company and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my God, like that's my fault because I didn't follow up with them or stay in touch with them. Even though they said they were happy and nothing could make them leave, something happened the next 6 months or the next year that made them want to leave. And it's the same thing with, you know, I look at it like loan officers, right? They all the time. They lose a buyer because they didn't follow up from 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Or the buyer says, I lost your number. Or I lost your contact. I went to Wells Fargo or whoever.
Yep.
That's the same thing with us. Like we have to continue to follow up. Even if a loan officer says they're happy at their current lender, nothing will make me leave. Continue to build that relationship.
Yep.
And don't be fake about it. Be real about it. You know, wish them a happy birthday on their birthday or happy anniversary on their anniversary or Merry Christmas on Christmas. And when something triggers them to not be happy, they're going to reach out to Ryan
Yeah.
You know, first before anybody else.
Dude, that's such a good takeaway. I mean, people listening right now probably be like, this is why I love talking to top performers and athletes is, dude, you just shared a story that you went from 3 to like 50 people in 4 short years. That's pretty quick. And so it's easy to go, man, that guy kills it in recruiting, and you do, but you're even harsher on yourself. Like, I need to do an even better. And that's my struggle right now, being vulnerable too. Like, I have the same struggle. Like, you want to make a call, sit down, and then turn them the next day, but that's not realistic, especially right now. Everybody's killing it everywhere.
Yep. Yeah.
And so I have the same struggle as you, and I keep telling myself, I'm probably not going to churn them and turn them this year, maybe, just because it's so good. It's hard to pull somebody when they're having record months. But I tell myself, it's the seeds that you're planting to win, you know, when winter comes, you know, that relationship's there. And, you know, I struggle with that. I got to get better at that, continuing to follow up, continuing to build that relationship. So if and when something does happen, they're calling me, to your point, not somebody else.
Yeah, I look at it like dating, right? If somebody's going to marry you after the first date.
Good analogy.
You're going to end up in the divorce, right?
Great analogy.
Yeah. The good loan officers, it takes 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 dates before you marry them.
Yeah.
And you got to wine them and dine them, right? And for 30 to 40, 50, 60 dates. And then, especially if they're doing 20, 25, 30 million a year plus, it's going to take time for that person to trust you, like you, and want to join your team.
Yeah, in the meantime, you're making a friend. You're making a professional friend as well, and you're sharing intel, and you're getting refined by, you know, what our competitors are doing. And so, I mean, it's still a win-win either way, even if they don't come over. I try really hard to have peers at regional market and loan officer level at all companies across East to West Coast, and that always helps me out. It just gives me such a great perspective on, you know, what the $100 million producers are doing and what companies are doing with different strategies and loan programs. So,
I agree.
So that was one of your struggles, to be equal and fair. Like, what's one of your strengths that's helped you out in the last 4 years? I know you're a humble guy, but, you know, what's one of your strengths there? Like, yeah, this is something right in my wheelhouse right now.
I would say my strengths, I would say I try to be upfront with every recruit. Like, hey, I would try to under promise, over deliver with everybody LO that I sit with.
Yep.
I tell them our strengths. I tell them our weaknesses. I say, hey, this is what we got to get better at as a company. If this is your problem here at your current company, and this is why you want to come here, hey, I'll just tell you straight up, we're not great at that.
Love that.
So I tell them what our strengths and weaknesses are, and I literally try to super, super under promise. So when they do come on board and they say, Ryan, you told me this department sucks.
Yeah.
But it's not that bad. It's a lot better than I was before. Hey, it could be better. Yeah. We're working on getting it better.
Yep.
It's not as good as it was 2 years ago or 3 years ago when I first joined movement. I promise you, management knows they're working on getting better. Hey, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
But if you tell them it's great, right, and it's not great at this moment, then they're going to come back and say, Ryan, like, you lied to me.
Yeah, bro. What's up, man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I literally try to do a lot of under-promising, over-delivering. So there's no, like, hey, Spiro used recruiting tactics on me to join.
Yeah.
Spiro was honest with me. He was blunt with me. He told me what our strengths were.
The best case scenario. I mean, I always tell people, like, hey, man, I'm not paying you to come over here. And that's not a sales technique. Like, I genuinely am not paying you to come over. I'll make you whole through a transition type thing. But if you can't look me in the eye after what we talked about and go, Ryan, this is the absolute best place for me, then I don't want you to come over. And no hard feelings. You know, you're going to be great at where you're at. I would hate, because, again, I would hate for somebody to come here and 2, 3, 6 months go, bro, this is not at all what we talked about, and I moved my family to this company, that would kill me more than anything.
Oh my God. Nothing hurts me more than anything like that. Yeah.
So I never want to be in that situation. So, and again, another similar takeaway here. So dude, your story is pretty cool. 4 years. I don't know that you could have done any better in 4 short years. I mean, it's amazing success, but if you had to go back to, like, your younger first day at Movement Mortgage, Spiro, knowing what you know now, what would you tell that young guy now after 4 years of amazing growth? Anything that you would tell him to do differently or maybe avoid?
I don't want to say I have any regrets. I mean, you know, I always say, like, I go in every day trying to give it 100%. I try to go home every day on a winning note. I hate going home pissed off, because when I go home pissed off, doesn't usually end well with me and my wife.
Yeah, exactly. The family feels it.
Yeah, I try to go home on a happy note, like whether it's like just making a good connection with a recruit or, you know, helping a loan officer with a file that he was struggling with, getting it approved, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
I try to leave every day on a good note instead of a bad note. If there's anything I would change, I would say, like, again, like I said earlier, I wish there was, I wish every LO that I talked to, I stayed in touch with, that I didn't have join us. It's because I wasn't following up with them.
Yeah.
I would say that's the biggest mistake I made, is not staying in touch with every single loan officer that I've spoken to in the last 4 years, and then seeing them on LinkedIn or Facebook joining a different company because they haven't heard from me in a year or 2 years.
The one thing we have going for us, and I have kind of a newer perspective, you know, obviously coming from Eagle, and that was a good company. I felt like we went from good to great, which is also a good book if you haven't read it. So I have a fresh perspective, and I genuinely feel like people should be here. You know, it is an amazing culture. We have awesome marketing. It's ran by young, driven people that are innovative. Mm-hmm. It's not stale. It's not old mortgage. It's relatively new company. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's hard to create or to go out and tell that story and recruit. I mean, trust me, there's a lot of people that are not happy where they're at. And it's really hard to recruit if you're a genuine person and you don't like where you're at. You know, I think for most of us, we actually like it, and we like hanging out with each other and talking with each other and going to President's Club, and Casey's chill and Jake's chill and, you know, Stanger's chill. It's just a neat place to come.
Stanger's not chill.
Well, outside of work he is, and I love the drive inside of work, so I love both sides of him. Like, I wouldn't ask, like, if I could create a perfect person for that job, it would be literally that guy. But it's not hard, guys. We have an amazing story. It just needs to be told more, in my opinion. You coming from a good company to a great company, already having some of my loan officers have their best months ever, and they've been in the business 10 or 15 years, and only being here 3 to 4 months, that's unheard of. So I'm proud and honored that Movement, you know, bet on us and brought us in. And thankful that people like you are, you know, sharing your wisdom with us.
I'll tell you what happens too, from what I see, and I'm sure you'll see this going down. You're still pretty new. So we get spoiled a lot, right? And, you know, when we have those 6-hour underwrites or those 3-hour, you know, there's been loans that I've seen submitted and literally get approved in 45 minutes.
Jeez.
I was like, how is this even possible?
Right.
Where now we just had the busiest week of the year, right? The last week of June is probably the busiest week of the year, and we got spoiled, and, you know, we had some loans take 48 hours to get approved and not 6 hours, and loan officers are like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Why is it taking 2 days to get a loan approved? And it's the guys that have been here with me for 3-4 years that don't remember where we came from before.
Yeah.
It's taking 5 days to get the loan to the underwriter,
right?
Let alone approved.
Yep.
So we get a little spoiled sometimes, and I think we forget that. And I'm sure the stress that Stanger endures on hearing that every day, it probably can get them. But, you know, I got to send an email to all of ops down in Virginia and just thank them. Because right now 2 days is probably the fastest in the industry for an approval.
Yeah.
I'm hearing other lenders are at 15, 16, 17 days.
Jeez.
And we're sitting here complaining about 2 days.
Yeah. We just got to manage and lead through it. You know, it's record months for every competitor out there, including us. It's hard to find good people. And I think it'd be a mistake to overreact and just go find a person to help.
Yeah.
So let's work together. We'll lead through it. It's not going to be 6 hours. Maybe it's, you know, 24 or 48 hours. Not the end of the world.
Yeah.
You know, we're still going to crush it together. And, you know, when the market kind of tapers off or slows down, we're going to be better for it. So, what's next for Spiro? Let's close with this. Thanks for your time. But what's next? Like, what's your goals for 2019? It sounds like you're already off to an amazing start. But what can you share with us? You're a high performer. I'm guessing you got some goals for 2019.
Well, I don't know if you're going to want to hear this. I told Darren, I finished last year number one in profit. And I think this year right now, year to date, I'm like number 3 or 4.
Yeah.
So I told Darren, I was like, if I don't finish number one by the end of the year, I will work for free for the next 2 months next year. You will take that.
Oh my God.
I was like, take my pen checks. I was like, that's how much I guarantee I'm going to finish number one.
Oh, I love that.
It's on video now. So yeah, you got to hold it. it's recorded.
it's on film now, buddy.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, Casey, last week we were talking numbers, and he said, "What are you going to finish up with?" And then we were going back and forth, and he's like, "You know, if you increase a little bit, you know, you can go to, you know, you'll be on $1 billion a year run rate."
Yeah.
And so I told him 2021 was my year for a billion.
A billion, dude.
For a billion. So I said 20, that's my goal. 21 next year, 750 million. 2021 is a billion.
I gotta set my goals higher talking to you, man. Dang. I was just hoping to get to 500 million.
We got to catch Jeff Brown.
Jeez. Well, good for you, man. Big goals. I love it that you put your money where your mouth is and there's some accountability behind it.
Yeah. I said I'm going to donate my first two paychecks to charity. No paycheck.
Wow.
Page number one.
Now it's on film, buddy.
Now it's on film.
Hey, well, thanks. Philly is playing the Seahawks in November. I think we should have some sort of bet.
Yeah.
We got a few months to figure out the bet, but I'm down for something.
It's a Sunday night game. It's a good game to come to.
Yeah, we may actually fly over there for that, but we'll put a bet together and put it out there for everybody to see.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Mortgage Impact Podcast. You can find old episodes, show notes, and much more at mortgageimpactpodcast.com and wherever you get your podcasts. Please like, comment, and share, and we look forward to having you back on a future episode.